If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading. Our scripture reading this morning, which is found in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 8, and verses 27 to 38. Mark chapter 8, verses 28 to 38. And hear now the word of God. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist," and others said, "Elijah," and others, "one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them not to tell anyone about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Jesus took him and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. Well, I'm sure that this isn't something that's earth-shattering to most of you, but tonight is actually the night when they hand out the Academy Awards. I know you're all on pins and needles just waiting to find out who's going to receive an Oscar. You know, Annie and I have been watching some of the Academy Awards presentations going back earlier. The ones that are happening lately are just not even worth watching, but the earlier ones, it's interesting, you know, to see some of the old movie stars and whatever who are receiving awards for what they do. And, you know, it also gives us perspective because as we see these people, we know things that have happened to them since they received that award, the course that their lives took over a period of time. And it was not always for the good. There are many times that they had terrible and difficult things that happened in their lives, even though they'd received these great accolades from men, that still their lives were in shambles after a period of time. You know, there is a cost that each one of them has to pay to be nominated even for that award. We're not always aware of what they've had to go through or the price they've had to pay in order to be lifted up by men and to receive this little golden idol here that we call the Oscar. And in many ways, that Oscar has become an idol because in order for people to receive that nomination and to reach that level, they've had to sacrifice many things. And many times they've had to sacrifice their own integrity in order to be awarded that Oscar. And it makes us wonder sometimes, you know, well, what are people willing to give in order to be successful? What are people willing to sacrifice in life so that they can reach this goal of being wealthy, of being powerful, of being rich, of being famous? What are they willing to give up in their life to reach that goal? No one has ever reached that level from a human standpoint without sacrifice. So how far are they willing to go? You know, there are some that get to the point where they say, you know what, it's just not worth it. I'm going to leave Hollywood. I'm going to turn my back on all of this. And I'm going to have a regular job and I'm going to live a regular life. We don't hear about them much, but all of a sudden they're just not around anymore. They had to come to that point where they evaluated, is it really worth it? Some of you may be familiar with a movie that came out back in the 1930s called The Devil and Daniel Webster. And I think I've mentioned this one other time, but it involves a farmer by the name of Jabez Stone. And he was having bad luck. Everything was going wrong. No matter how hard he worked or how hard he tried, he just couldn't seem to get ahead. And one day, out of frustration, he said this, "It's enough to make a man want to sell his soul." And all of a sudden, out of nowhere came this individual by the name of Scratch. And it was really the devil. And the devil said, "You know, what you want isn't all that much. That's not a big deal at all. Are you willing? Did you really mean it when you said you would sell your soul?" And he said, "I am just so frustrated, I'm willing to do anything." And he said, "Well, all you need is just a little bit of help." And he took his walking stick and he hit this area and all these gold coins spilled out. And if you've ever seen the movie or know the story, you know that Jabez Stone all of a sudden became the wealthiest man in the county. Everything that he did seemed to flourish. But he'd made a deal. He made a deal with the devil. And there came a time when the devil called in his due. Now, as the story goes, he got Daniel Webster, who's a famous lawyer, and they had this trial and whatever. But the story represents what happens to so many people when they get so frustrated. It's like, you know, I don't care anymore. Just, I'm willing to sell myself to the devil if that's what it takes to be successful. Don't ever, ever say that. There are stories of people that have said that and have sold their soul to the devil. I could go on and on about people, but some of the ones that you might know, if you've ever heard of a violinist by the name of Paganini, Paganini made a deal with the devil. He was an average violinist, and he wanted to be great. And so, according to his own biography, he made a deal, a pact with Satan. And he became probably the most famous violinist. There are people today that can't duplicate what he was able to do on a violin. But they said that as his talent increased, the evil in him also increased. And there came a time when he had to pay the due. How about Robert Johnson? Some of you are familiar with him, blues guitarist out of Mississippi. And Robert Johnson made a deal with the devil, met him at the crossroads, it says. And somebody that could barely play the guitar all of a sudden became one of the best guitar players in the world. And when somebody said, "How in the world did you do this?" And he said, "I made a deal with the devil. I sold my soul." Now, this was written by a guy named Tommy Johnson. And some of you have seen the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And you know that the black guitarist in that was Tommy. And this is a reference to him, where he also says he went out to that crossroads and he met the devil and he sold his soul to the devil. Some of you are familiar with people like Bob Dylan, who made a pact with the devil. And he was asked on television, he was interviewed. And he said, what is this? Did you actually tell the devil that? And he said, "I made a deal with the devil. And now I have to honor my part of the bargain." Katy Perry, you know, she had the Super Bowl halftime, I think last year or the year before. And it was a horrible halftime presentation, demonic. And we saw an interview with her that took place not long ago, just weeks ago, where she was crying and she said, "What I did was wrong, and I wish I could get out of it, but I know I can't." Sold her soul to the devil. Well, what happens when the time comes to pay the price? See, the problem is we don't know the value of the human soul. We each have one. And sometimes we really take it for granted. In that movie, "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou," Tommy, one of the men said, "You sold your soul to the devil?" And his response was, "Well, I wasn't using it for anything." Had no value at all to him, the human soul. Back years ago, I was a campus life director for Greater Miami Youth for Christ. And one of the fellows that I was working with is working with North Miami High. And he went out in the parking lot early before school started, and all the teenagers would gather there, and it was a wealthy area. Most of the kids had Corvettes and these beautiful cars and whatever. He drove up in his old jalopy. And he went around to these guys that were sitting on their cars, the tough guys. And he said, "Hey, I'll tell you what. I'll give you 10 bucks for your soul." And they said, What are you talking about?" And he said, "I've got a piece of paper right here, and all you have to do is sign it, and it says that you're going to give me your soul, and I'll give you 10 bucks. They said, "This guy's crazy. Sure, I'll sign it." So they started to sign. He started giving them 10 bucks. After school that day, he came back, and almost every one of those individuals that signed that sheet of paper came back and wanted to buy back that piece of paper. Some of them offered $50, $60, whatever it would take. They wanted that paper back. Because during the day, they got to thinking, "I don't want to sell my soul." And he told them, I'm not going to sell it back to you. But if you come to our meeting tonight," and he told him where it was going to be, he said, "I'll give you back that piece of paper and you can tear it up." And of course, that night he talked about Jesus and he talked about the value of the soul, the human soul. So many of these people now that say, "Yeah, I sold my soul to the devil and now I'm a great performer and I'm rich and I've got all this." And quietly, they're thinking to themselves, "I made a terrible mistake. Terrible mistake." Well, Jesus talked about the value of the soul and how much it's really worth. Now, what is this? What is a soul? What is a soul? We see references to this in Scripture, but what really is our soul? Each of us has one. Here's a literal definition. This is Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It says this: "The soul is the spiritual part of a person believed to give life to the body and thought to live forever." It's our personality. It's who we are. The essence which causes us to be individuals. This is what the soul is. And every soul is unique. There are no two people. They're alike. You know, we used to think that fingerprints were unique until one day a man was arrested for a crime that he couldn't have committed. It happened in a state far away from his, and yet his fingerprints were found at that crime scene. And he was arrested, and he proved the fact that he couldn't be in two places at once. And then they captured the real criminal, and it turned out that their fingerprints were identical. Identical. You see, that doesn't happen with the soul. The soul is unique. There are no two souls that are alike. Of all the people that have ever lived in all of history, no two are alike as far as souls go. You know, looking at the Bible, In the Old Testament, the soul, the Hebrew word for soul is nefesh. Hebrew word, nefesh. And the Bible teaches us in the Old Testament that you don't have a soul, that you are a soul. You don't, it's not something that God creates the body. God created the body of Adam and Eve, and into them he placed the soul. No, he created them and they were the soul. It was their identity. They had, the soul had a body, but God gave the soul first. They were the soul. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, we have something that's called the Shema, and it's something that the Jews repeat quite a bit, and it starts off, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then it says this, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might." And what it's talking about is the complete and total person, everything about that person. And it can be put under the category of soul. This is who we are. And because of that, we're to love the Lord with everything that's within us. That is the soul. You know, and sometimes the soul is referred to in terms of our bodies, our body parts. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, we just went through this not long ago in our Wednesday night studies. And it's a benediction. I've quoted it here from the pulpit. It says this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And it's talking about our entirety, everything that we are. In Greek, the word for soul is psuche. And it's that word from which we get the word psyche, psychiatric. And it has to do, you know, a psychiatrist doesn't just deal with the brain. He's dealing with the person themselves. That's why it's called psychiatry. See, this is unique to human beings. The scripture never talks about animals having souls. This is the thing that differentiates us from animals. When God made us in his image, he gave us a soul, which was an individual thing for each person. And it differentiates us from the animal kingdom. Because of that soul, we know that we will live forever. Our body will die. Everything else may change, but the soul is going to remain forever, and that's what we'll be with the Lord forever in glory. Now, out of that, God renews everything else. Because our soul and our spirit are with him, then our body gets renewed, and that's what we have in heaven. Last night, Don Piper was talking about when he went to the gates of heaven. And when he was there, he saw loved ones. Now that's something that we've heard before about people that claim to have died and come back to life. And you know, my opinion of that is, I don't know if that really happened, but I don't need to, because I know that they really believe it. And in that process, they see things that they would not have seen on earth. You know, and he talked about family members that he saw who were completely perfect in every way. And he said he was speaking to this large group, over 3,000 people in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And all of a sudden, a man in the middle of this 3,000 number crowd stood up and he said, "Did all the people have hair?" He said the man stood up and he was bald as a billiard ball. And Don Piper said, "I didn't see anybody that didn't have hair." And he said, "Hallelujah." And he sat back down. Never heard anything from him again. But psyche, the word, means the person, the individual. And it's unique to us as humans. So what is this, what's this soul really worth? I mean, how much can it be worth? You know, we live in a time when people are trying to devalue the worth of the human being. This is one of the reasons why abortion is a big issue right now, because people see no worth in that fetus, even though it has a separate heartbeat, even though it's growing and forming into a complete adult. They see no value in it, no worth in it. And so it's like, just get rid of it. It's have no worth at all. In fact, it's just a piece of tissue. No, it's not. It's a soul. But we devalue that. In fact, the penalty for taking an American eagle, a bald eagle egg, is so much greater than that of killing an unborn child. It's just ridiculous. We have all these laws to protect the animals, but no laws to protect the innocents. It's the attempt to devalue human life. It's why now they say that it's not a problem if in 10 states right now, I mentioned this on Wednesday night, they've legalized euthanasia, where if somebody wants to die, okay, we'll set you up with a doctor, and the doctor will give you a drip, and in 10 minutes, you'll be dead. No value at all to human life. So because there's no value to human life, there's no value to the soul. People laugh at it. They joke about it. We have a current plan to depopulate the world. This isn't a conspiracy theory. This is happening right now. Why? Because they don't have any value on human life. Well, we're getting overcrowded, and so we need to wipe out a third of the world population by such and such a year. Good grief. No value to human life. Well, Jesus taught a different standard. Jesus said, that's not the way I look at life, not the way my Father looks at life. In our text, verses 36 and 37, it says this: for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? Now, in that one statement, what Jesus is saying is that this entire world doesn't equal the value of one soul. All the cities, all the money, all the wealth, all the power, all the fame, none of that comes up to the value of your soul and my soul. That's the value God places on the soul. You know, in business, we have something called a profit loss spreadsheet. And in the profit loss spreadsheet, companies work out, okay, this is how much everything is going to cost us to produce this product, and this is the percentage that we need to receive in profit in order to make it worthwhile. And so they go over that profit loss spreadsheet, and they're constantly putting in the figures to make sure that they're within the ranges that they've set. And I feel like God, right here in this passage, has given us a profit loss spreadsheet. And he said, what's it worth to you? If you gain the whole world, if you gain everything, all the money, and in the process you lose your soul, what's it worth? Now you know, and I know, that there are people today that are doing what I believe are terrible things just so that they can profit. Drug companies that are raking in hundreds of billions of dollars for doing things that they know they shouldn't do. Why? Why? What's it worth? What are they trading for all that money? They're selling their souls for wealth. Just like I believe that many of those actors and actresses tonight are selling their souls for this little golden idol. Jesus told us, what does it profit somebody? You know, the Apostle John warned us against this, and he calls it folly. This is in John, 1 John 1, verses 1 John 2, 15 to 17, and it says this. It says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away, along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Here again, I think that's the profit loss spreadsheet. And that is, okay, you're sacrificing all these things to get what? A little bit more money, a little bit more fame, a little bit more power. What are you giving up in return? What's the downside of this profit loss? What are you losing? It's interesting that those three categories that John speaks about right there. He talks about the desires of the flesh. That represented in the Old Testament, that represented Baal. And Baal was the god of pleasure. And then he says, the desires of the eyes. And that's all the things that we can buy. And it talks about the desires of the flesh. And he says the pride of life. And that really talks about power. Power was the god Moloch in the Old Testament. And you know, we look at the people in the Old Testament times that served these gods, and they would sacrifice their children and their loved ones to these gods. And we think, oh, how horrible. How could anybody do that? And yet today, we're so prone to sacrifice our children to one of these gods, maybe all three of them, just to get ahead, ignore our families, ignore our responsibilities, ignore our God. For what? For what? John says, you know, this is all going to burn up. It's all going to go away. We put all of our time and energy into getting the things of this world, and then we watch it just all gets burned up. You're seeing what's happening out in California right now. You're seeing people that put all of their time and energy and money into building these beautiful homes, and then we get week after week of storms, and these homes are being washed away. 14 feet of snow out there, and it's caving in the roofs of these homes, multi-million dollar homes, and then they're being washed away. That's what God says is going to happen. Why would we surrender our souls to this? Why would we give up our hope in the Lord to get more things about this world? It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. You know, Ann and I used to sing this song. We would sing songs at churches from time to time, and one of our favorites was a song that was named Prepare to Meet Thy God. And some of you may recognize this. It's a song that was very big in the early 1900s, and we actually attended a country church, and it was in their hymnal. They were still singing it, which was great. But it goes like this: careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. And then the chorus goes, careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. And this is a warning, and it's a warning call that goes out. This world is glittery, and it's shiny, and gives us the impression that we can never be happy unless we have more of it. And the very opposite is true. What's the value of the soul? And Jesus said it this way. He said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what would you give in return for your soul? Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to this place and that we can hear your word. And Father, I pray and ask that this morning that our hearts would be touched and it would be our great desire to put you first in our life, not to listen to this world and to see everything that the world has to offer as a benefit. Lord, instead that we would see you and your kingdom and that we would love you with all of our hearts, our souls, our mind, our strength. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
If you would, please now stand and turn to number 78 in your hymnal. We will sing the first three verses now, and then we will sing the last one after the benediction. Grace greater than all our sin. Please stand.
Bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.